Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chick Flick Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lucy Weston. Thank you for joining me for Chick Flick Chat, a spin-off feature of the popular life and style website, HereWeAreWithLucy.com. It's Monday, March 19th, 2012, and this is the last Chick Flick Chat featuring ABC TV's The Bachelor, Season 16, with Ben Flonick. This week's chat features After the Final Rose and a recap on this whole reality series. Well, it's over, and it feels like it has been a long time in coming this season. If you are new to Chick Flick Chat, this is a review and discussion show where we chat about women's roles and the roles for women in film and television. We debate, dissect, and dish the details of what we see on screen and what it all means in real life. So, if you are new or a regular listener, I'd like to take a minute and sincerely thank each and every one of you for tuning in. This has been a fun, growth-oriented experience for me, and I hope for you too. I know from some of the emails that I received during the season that the chats expanded your views on reality TV, and it also highlighted many of the issues presented about women, dating, love, etc., and that was really what I aimed to do at this, the start of this, and with all the Chick Flick Chats, whether you're listening to them, the films we've covered in the past at the Blog Talk Radio Chick Flick Chat channel, or the earlier ones, which were recorded over at the Blog Talk Radio channel called Here We Are, and you can get all that information at the blog, Here We Are with Lucy. We did my co-host Susan Ragazzo and I did a bunch of Chick Flick Chats, and they got so popular, that's why we started its own channel at Blog Talk Radio, to try to keep them separate, and it was getting a little confusing because we also do regular talk show type interviews with experts over at Here We Are. So you found us, and it's been great, and I'm really, really appreciative. And that feedback that I've been getting has been wonderful, because it does tell me, like I said, that Chick Flick Chat is on the right track, and we're doing something right, and that's wonderful to hear. So I'd also need to and want to thank you for liking it on Facebook, tweeting it, plus wanting it on Google. Is that a word, plus wanting it? Each time you've shared the show, it's very exciting, and I appreciate it, and it does help others find us. So like you, they can join me live or on demand or through iTunes once they find out about it. And stick with me. I have a lot planned to start in April. We're going to start to branch out and do some other things, interviewing some filmmakers. And so if film and TV is your thing and you like it, and, stick with us. I'm also debating about whether or not to do a little bit of following the new Bachelorette series coming. I'm not going to do it every week. I think we covered a lot in this whole Ben Flonick season, and I don't want to be repetitive. I want to offer you new stuff. If I see something, though, that I think is worthy of, talking, or you do, let me know, and maybe we'll pop it up there. So I am lining things up, and they will be posted at the Chick Flick Chat Blog Talk Radio page or at Here We Are, the website, as soon as possible and as soon as they're confirmed. If you want to talk to me today or just share your thoughts about After the Final Rose, you can call in at 909-265-9175. Press the number 1 if you'd like to talk, and I'll pick you up. I apologize last week if anybody did want to speak. I was so into the Final Rose episode, I didn't get a chance to look at the board to the last few minutes. It just went out of my head. And then I saw it, I think in the show I said, have you called in? But I'm not sure anybody had pressed 1 at that point. I usually do have live listeners, which is nice, and I don't pick anybody up to surprise, because some people do listen just through their phone lines. Before we get to this week, let me back up. I'm very excited to talk to you, as you can tell. So If you do call in, please keep your comments polite and on topic and based on the overall observations of the issues and events that we've viewed, and I will do the same. We're not looking to bash or slander anybody that's involved with these shows. So each week, if you've been listening to Chick Flick Chats, you know that I came up with a theme word that sort of was the overall feeling or captured what we saw in a definitive way. This week, I don't really think there's a theme, more because I really want to just talk in general terms about what we saw, not only on After the Final Rose, but throughout the season. So, I have a lot to cover, and let's get to it. We're going to start with the taped episode of After the Final Rose. And, you know, it's always very typical when they come out, and you know you're expecting to see them. We know that the couple, whether it's a bachelorette picking the guy or the bachelor picking the gal, it's always, you know, they're going to see each other for the first time in a long time, supposedly, or not in secret. And this was a little bit different because there had been so many rumors out in the tabloids and on the internet, and it was just that they were broken up, and then we saw that there were things with Courtney trying on wedding dresses. Nobody knew really what was going on, and obviously we never know what's really going on in any relationship, whether it's on TV or not. So we have to wait to see it or hear about it, and you know, what better place to hear it from the horse's mouth. So we have the show opens with Chris Harrison, who, you know, we've talked about him throughout the this Chick Flick Chat series, and you know, he pops up and he's a great host, but he does pop up with certain things that he says sometimes, and you go, you know, is that off the cuff, or is that scripted for him? But in this case, I thought it was particularly offensive. They started the show after he did a little recap of Ben proposing to Courtney, where he says, you know, that you're going to see Courtney, the girl America loves to hate. Well, that really puts a negative spin on what we're about to see and on Courtney. And I don't think anybody, I don't care what, you know, tough nerves you have, or that's a terrible thing to hear about yourself. And I just thought that was a very bad way, whether he said it off the cuff or it was written for him, for the producers to start the show. It just wasn't, it was very unpleasant, and it started off, you know, and the audience, well, we're going to get to, okay, he does ask the audience to withhold judgment. But how do you ask an audience to withhold judgment after you just made that comment? And they're all snickering, and they're just, it was like an audience of haters. It was just not a happy moment. So Ben comes out and he says, you know, he's still in love with this woman, and that, you know, the woman that everyone saw on TV, it isn't the Courtney that he knew or knows. And Chris Harrison says, you know, Courtney took joy and delight on turning the knife on the other women. Well, you know, that, yes, she might have, and no one's saying she didn't. And certainly we saw time and time again her saying things and doing things to these other girls. But if you remember early on, now bear with me because I have notes from the entire season in front of me, there was a lot of bashing going on, and especially when they would do cutaways, when Courtney would be out with Ben, either on a group date or a one-on-one date, there were always the gang mentality bashing groups, whether it was two girls together or there were four girls together. In particular, in episode four, you know, there were a bunch of girls sitting at the house or the condo that they were at, and it was Monica, Rachel, Emily, and Elise. You know, and they were just going on and talking negatively about Courtney and behind her back. And it was, you know, that was probably a very small part of their day, but that was what they featured in the editing. And that did go on repetitively. We even heard KCB one week calling Courtney a bitch. So it wasn't just Courtney. And during the Women Tell All, Casey S., who evidently was the one girl who did make friends with Courtney, said that, you know, there had been a lot of bashing going on and other girls were backstabbing, but it seemed like Courtney had gotten, you know, the brunt of it, and or accused of it mostly. And she was the only one that came to Courtney's defense. Not that anybody needs to come to Courtney's defense or anybody's defense, but it just shows that there is another perspective going on there. And unfortunately for Casey S., we didn't really get to see a whole lot of her throughout the series. And then she was the girl that got kind of kicked off early because supposedly she had a boyfriend she was still in love with, and you know, she left unceremoniously, you know, just in the middle of the day without shoes on and all these things that happened to her. So, you know, it was just not – this really did go both ways. And just that the editing and the way that the internet – jumped on the bandwagon for Courtney, you know, we have to step back and look at really what was going on. So Ben says she made it harder on me, and we were broken up when the show was airing, you know, to the general public. Well, now this goes back to, you know, in the past we've seen that Ben, he's needed support and he's needed things to be, you know, the way he wanted them to be so that it was easy for him to make this decision. And, you know, it's never easy to pick the one you're going to supposedly spend your life with. So why should it be easier for him? Why should the girls have to do that? And in episode 9, there was a specific incident where he tells Courtney, like, I feel like I know you and you're the Courtney I'm falling in love with, but I need support. Well, and there were a couple other times, I think in Switzerland too, where you said to her directly, you're not making this easy on me, and you're not, well, what, is she supposed to help him with the other girls or help him make it? She's there to be her, and as all the girls are. And it was just another time of us seeing, you know, Ben in action of, it's always all about Ben and, you know, what Ben wants, and not that it shouldn't be, but you know what I'm saying. So, okay. He goes on to explain to Chris Harrison that it became so much, meaning all of the rhetoric that was going on on the internet and in the tabloids about Courtney and her behavior and what was going, that he cracked, and that was the low part of the experience. And we learned that he basically, you know, he broke up with her and left her during this really peak time where it was so heated up in the public eye. And that does not bode well for them, or it doesn't say a whole lot about him for somebody that was out there looking for someone who could support him and help him and, you know, be at his side and all these things that he said, that he wanted someone to be open. And, you know, throughout the entire season, we heard this from him. And then here we find out that when the cameras aren't rolling, he just ditched her. And, you know, when the going got tough. And in fact, I think Chris Harrison makes a mention of that. So they show photos of Ben and actually they didn't show it, but there were photos out in the internet about Ben with another woman. And he does say that it's not true, that those were past photos, and that he has made it clear to Courtney that he never cheated on her and that she trusts him. Well, you know, that's debatable. And, you know, that she went out and in order to help him and take the heat off of him, she tried on wedding dresses to divert the attention off of him. And you know, that was very nice of her. I don't know if I really believe that. Maybe that was a producer-driven thing. Like, you know, Courtney, there's a lot of stuff. Let's keep this on track because we don't want people tuning out. Let's get you. I don't, you know, he's also been played a lot, Ben. So where that real motivation came from, I question. Maybe she did do it for him. I don't know. If somebody broke up with you and, you know, after all this and you put yourself out there and you're being, you know, ripped apart in the media, do you then go out and try on a wedding dress and get your photo purposefully taken so that it could take the attention off the guy who sort of caused all of this for you? You know, let's think about this on another level. I'm not so sure I believe that. Okay. Courtney comes out and she gets booed by the audience. And how awful. I mean, that is just not – it's just not polite, people. You know, it just isn't good. And she's wearing this lovely white dress. And again, she's got this thing with white clothes. She's worn white clothes throughout the season, and it really did work for her. And that was the way to wear a white dress, what she had on after the final rose. So she says that, you know, marriage means something to her. And Ben was supportive of me, and then he abandoned me. But when I needed him, and, you know, and she says that some trust has been lost and it's disappointing. Well, you know, once the trust is gone out of a relationship, I'm not sure you ever can get it back. Maybe you can. She's always going to be timid. And we know from the season that trust for her was like the number one issue that she has with men, that she can't trust men. And here she trusted him. And that was one of the things that she kept coming back to. Whether it's true or not, again, this is reality TV, so we don't know what they're, you know, what's being hyped up and what's true and what's their perception or what's our perception. But if that really is her issue, here she is talking about, losing some trust for him, and you know that's a hard thing to come back from. So she tells us that he wasn't responding to her during the toughest, you know, period of time when they were, you know, broken up. And Chris Harrison points out that Valentine's Day came and went, and Ben never contacted her. Now, if someone gives you a ring a few weeks earlier or whatever, you're in a relationship and you're having a rough time, there is no excuse for no contact. And I know Valentine's Day is a contrived holiday, and I even did the movie on Chick Flick Chat, Valentine's Day. If you haven't heard it, please check it out. You know, it's one of those things that is sort of a seminal moment if you're having trouble. If it sort of tells you the writing on the wall. He didn't even – there's no excuse with today's technology. He could have sent her an e-card, an email, a text, a phone call, you know, something delivered to the house. He didn't even have to have interaction with her. He could have just sent something and said, you know, thinking of you. And it didn't mean that he had to open up the whole relationship again or anybody. He just went through all this. He knows that she's being bashed, and he does nothing. That out of everything that we saw and heard this weekend, this season, that was very disappointing. And I just think it's very telling of what's to come for her. So that's my warning, Courtney. Okay. Chris Harrison says, are you a couple? And she says, yes. And then she says, I don't really know. I love him and I'm willing to try. We need to talk. So Ben comes out again and then they're sitting there and he says, oh, we're in a good place. It can only get better. And What is he saying? You know, you're kind of broken up. And Chris Harrison does confront him with the, when the going got tough, you split. And Ben does admit it. He does. And he's all teary-eyed. And Courtney's, you know, regarding the trust, she says she doesn't trust him completely, not yet. And she does believe him, and she's choosing to believe him. And Ben says, we communicate well. Well, that may be true. You know, they communicate well, but obviously not during the time that he didn't want to communicate with her. So Ben, you know, he says that we know this is going to work, and, you know, Chris Harrison says, well, this is sort of two different stories. Are there doubts? And Courtney says, I don't have the right answer. So her guard is up. We're hearing it. We're seeing it. Her guard's up. And Ben apologizes to Courtney for not standing by her, and he says, I feel like I should have stayed with you instead of stepping back. Well, you think? I mean, like that is just, and then he says it on national TV and everybody's clapping and it's like, really? Now it's okay? Like what, why weren't they booing him when he wasn't with her? And, you know, it's again, like it's just, it's, they're the double standard here. Like he can do what he wants. She can't do what she wants, which is when she's standing up for herself or having, you know, whether or not we think it's quote unquote nice, if she's causing conflict, suddenly she's a bad person or she's standing, you know, just, so there's really, we're seeing some, lot of different shades of gray going on here of what's okay and what's acceptable in society and how the reality TV platform highlights this. So Chris Harrison, you know, he says, you're the most controversial couple in the U.S. Well, all right, you know, I know they got to sell advertising. I don't really think most people care once the season's over. In fact, I pushed this after the final rose up by a day. I normally do it on Tuesdays so that I could get done with it too. We watch a retrospective of the proposal, and during that time they're like canoodling. She's crying, he's smiling, and he's all teary-eyed. And she says it was the happiest day of her life. And you know, he says it's hard now because that moment we were so happy, and then it played out the way it did, and the feelings never left. And, you know, I have a question for Ben. Yeah, it might have been, you know, a really happy moment, but you got to see things that, you know, you weren't seeing throughout the season when the show aired. Well, so did Courtney. So did Courtney, the person you proposed to. She got to see you with Lindsay and Nikki and supposedly on those overnight dates. And I'm sure there was a lot of speculation that went on during their private conversations as to what happened in those hours. So, you know, it's all fair in love and war here. And it's just one of those things that he's forgetting all of that suddenly. It's very convenient. And so he says he still feels the same way as at the proposal, and that may be true, or he's just saving face. We'll find out. Time will tell. Nobody really knows, like I said earlier, what goes on in somebody else's relationship. So Chris Harrison hands him the ring, and he gives it to her. He puts it on her hand, and now the audience is clapping enthusiastically, and they're so happy for this couple who 10 minutes ago they were hating 50% of it. So it's just very – I think it's very – funny, and I don't mean in the ha-ha way. So he, you know, I wish you guys the best. And okay, the biggest surprise on this particular After the Final Rose is that the girl who is rejected at the Final Rose, during the Final Rose episode, usually shows up on this show. But she did not, and that was Lindsay. We know that was Lindsay. She did not show up. She did, however, show up on Jimmy Kimmel and talking about how she wanted to be the next Bachelorette. And we also have heard from her in other interviews since the last the airing of the Final Rose that, you know, she did this because it would be fun and she'd have a story to tell. Well, here we thought it was story, and I think I mentioned this last week. What? Here we thought she was there. She was so into Ben. Was she just doing all this so that she could be the Bachelorette or the next Bachelorette? I don't know. Time will tell on that, too. I'm not particularly thinking she's going to make a great Bachelorette. And usually the ones that ask for it don't or have not been asked to be, so we'll see what happens. And then they recap a little bit with Ashley and JP from Bachelorette Season 7. Ashley was the girl who rejected Ben. And I think because they brought this couple back because they had time to fill. They had to fill the airtime for the hour, and they didn't have Lindsay to interview singly and then with Ben and then with Ben and Courtney. So that whole awkward extravaganza did not happen during this After the Final Rose. Now, I mentioned a few things earlier in the show that happened earlier in the season, and I just want to go over a few points before we wrap up. I have about 8 minutes left. I see a handful of callers on the board. Well, thank you very much. Nobody's pressing one, so if you want to talk, press one. I'm looking. I'm not seeing any number ones come up. So I'll keep going. Okay. If you look back over the season, we saw a lot of, foreshadowing of what was to come. It wasn't really hard to spot. It was very evident, and I talked about this with each episode, and I think that I didn't go back and listen to which episode that I pointed it out, and I should have made a note of it, and I will for the next time I do a series, but I know early on I did say that he was sunk. He was in love with Courtney from the moment she got out of the car. She was going to be the one to beat, and when they had their first big one-on-one where they went to the woods, and they talked about, they had the dog, his dog Scotch with them. This was in episode 2. She, he said to the cameras in his little confessional, she's smart, she's witty, she's gorgeous, too good to be true, the total package. And, and she also said, by far this was the best date I've ever been on. And he said, I agree. And he opened up to her, and she went on about her trust issues. So here we have her trust issues right away in the beginning, and what we just talked about with what he did afterwards. And so this relationship really did start to coagulate, if you will, very early on in the season. And one, when she got out of the car, he was impressed with her. And then on the second episode, when he had his first one-on-one date with her. And then throughout the whole series, she made a point of catching him. She was looking to catch a man. And, when they did the fishing episode, she talked about it's like catching a fish. And she's not wrong. It's not far off. In general terms, about the bashing that went on during the After the Final Rose episode, we saw a lot of nastiness from the other girls against Courtney, who was there. Did I say After the Final Rose? I meant the Women Tell All. So we saw a lot when Courtney came out during that episode to apologize, and this sentiment sort of stayed. Like, even though she came out and she seemed very sincere and she apologized during that time, the backlash on the internet did not stop. It didn't. In fact, it got worse, and people doubted her sincerity. But when I looked back through my notes, I looked back to episode 1, and I wrote down a few things that came out of different girls' mouths during the initial episode, during the cocktail party, which, lasts like 16 hours, although we only see 40 minutes of it or whatever. So they, girls actually, and these are quotes that I'd written down, said like other girls have negative attitudes and they were sizing each other up, and quote, 25 women waiting to attack, quote, the claws come out, quote, willing to do what it takes, quote, the beginning of my fairy tale. So these images, you know, of and this behavior and this thought, these thought processes were all played out throughout the season. You know, we saw the girls fighting with each other. We saw the girls feeling insecure. We saw them sizing each other up, especially when they brought back Chantel during the episode in San Francisco. And, you know, the girls were I mean, I think that you could probably say that the claws were out and they were sizing each other up on that. It was a terrible display of behavior of women against women. And, you know, so in the very first episode, most of these girls knew what they were getting into. And also this fairy tale issue, you know, oh, the beginning of my fairy tale, this could be a fairy tale, this could be a fairy tale. Well, in the end, as we can see, you know, yeah, getting the gorgeous diamond at the top of the mountain near the Matterhorn is very fairy tale like, especially when you're wearing a beautiful velvet cape and all these things are happening. And it obviously it wasn't such a fairy tale afterwards if the man leaves you because things get a little tough. So there is no fairy tale. You know, this is another preconceived notion that people are chasing and then they don't really realize what's in front of them. So, okay, I have 4 minutes left and I want to go over a couple of things. During some of the episodes, we did see an issue, a repeated issue, come up when KCB admitted that she had an eating disorder early on, and then we saw when she was rejected a few episodes later, she said, you know, why I'm not good enough, and I'm not enough, and why am I never enough? And then at the very end, in the final rows, we even heard that same rhetoric from Lindsay, saying, you know, I guess I'm not enough. And I just wrote an article on Here We Are with Lucy called You Are Enough. And I think that when it comes to finding people or, what you know, when you don't feel whole, this is not a platform to go on and be on a reality show trying to find love. It's just not going to work for you in any way because you're not fulfilled and whole on your own. And, you know, if you're feeling unlovable or if you have a state of mind that is against if you have a state of mind that isn't going to really allow yourself to feel whole or to feel content or to feel good on your own as a single person, then you're never going to find it with somebody else. And we saw that with Elise when she was saying that Ben had an individual date with her and she said, there's sparks and I think that he's someone I can marry. Well, really, you know, that we saw that also with Jennifer throughout the season. And she kept making up this relationship that really wasn't there. And Elise tells Ben during their dinner, you know, I'm sick of being single. I want to be engaged and married. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean she wants to be engaged and married to him, although he might have been the good, you know, the insert peg in, you know, into this slot, because it's just that's what she was looking for. And she also said, you know, like, what did I do wrong when he rejected her? Well, it's not about you. A few months ago, Demi Moore, in an article, I think in Harper's Bazaar, don't quote me on that, talked about how she thinks she's unlovable. And, you know, this is Demi Moore. And then in my article, I talked about Whitney Houston, and I did mention Casey and Lindsay. And, you know, it's almost pandemic, I think, in the way we're brought up as women or the way we look at society or something is going on here that needs to change. So, you know, and also I think it's highlighted again when women will take the second best. You know, you get what you accept, not, you know, so it's if Jamie and Lindsay, when they both say like, oh, if things don't work out, I'll take you back. That's not really good for you. That's like saying, well, you know, I'll take you. You're good enough for me because I obviously am not good enough to be number one. So that's what that's what you believe. I'm not saying that. So believe me. So you need to come to a relationship from a whole place of wholeness and not neediness. And it's, you know, there are things that definitely got highlighted and I think we can learn from just watching this series and as a reality television show. I think we also did really see some reality that was going on under the layers and behind the lights and without, you know, the hair and the makeup and all of that. So listeners, I want to thank you so much for sharing part of your busy day with me. As I said earlier, I appreciate each and every one of you, and I feel lucky that you joined me. Please remember to come by and subscribe to Here We Are with Lucy, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com, Here We Are with Lucy. Lucy is with an I. We know you're busy and you prefer quality to quantity, so we don't bug you with constant updates. We don't, you know, cram your feed stream. I'm Lucy Weston, and stick with me. We got a lot more coming on Chick Flick Chat throughout the season for the rest of the year. Again, I'm really happy you joined me, and I really look forward to speaking with you next time. Thank you for being there throughout the season 16 of ABC TV's The Bachelor. Bye now.